All right, then we'll start. There's a second quotation by Jetsun Kapa on the importance of the field, the Lama field, okay? Shingi chola tamel be shingi tong tsam yang mepa. There's a mistake in the Tibetan, but there's no one to show the Tibetan. I understand. All right. The line that starts with medpa, okay? D-O ko is misspelled. It should be D space O, okay? Apostrophe D-I space apostrophe O, okay? D-O-kul tang-sang or min-du. So, shingi chok. Here's the chok spelled with an M, which means supreme. So, the highest of all fields, okay? Shingi chok. La. Tamel. Tamel, you know, because tamel nangshen is the greatest sin in the secret teachings. Huh? Yeah, see things as ordinary. No, my world is not magical. Is more dangerous in the secret teachings than murder. Okay, Tamelki. Of course, murder is very bad also. Okay, but to see things as ordinary is worse. Tamelki, shingi chola tamel be shingi tong tsam yang mepa means we don't even see our teachers as a potential ordinary field, much less a special one. We don't consider them. We don't, when our teacher walks by, we don't say, oh, wait, I got a chance to plant a seed, you know, slow down. Can I do something, you know, like that? You know, we don't even think of them as a normal field, much less the highest field there is, okay? Like you see an important person, Richard Gere comes to your teaching in New York, right? And you're like thinking of things to ask him to support, you know, like you're looking at him like, this is a field. I could plant some seeds here, you know, and then not to see your teacher as that, you know, as a big opportunity, tang sawa min du. Tang means a way of behaving. Literally, it means a way of moving, and typically with a horse. So horses have different kinds of tongues, a gallop or a gait. I forget. I don't know. Anyway. So, tang means the way you move in a dance, also. So, he says here, that's not a very good tang, meaning it ain't a cool move, literally. To not be aware that when your teacher's around, you have a good opportunity for planting. Okay? Min du, che sung batare. That's his end of his quotation. By the way, that quotation comes from his Lamrim Ding, the medium-length lamrim, okay? So he did three major lamrims called shorter, medium, and greater. And then he did a bunch of small lamrims like Lamtsun Namtsum, Three Principal Paths, etc. Yendin Shigirma, you could be considered one. What's that one?
Source of All My Good.
Source of All My Good. Okay, here we go. Ona tsokshin seondapa shintukel chewa detar yena. If asking the field of the lamas for help is so crucial, de seondap so jitar chago. Well, how do you do it? Okay. So how do I? Seondap is not the same as sundap. Okay. Be careful. I just made that mistake. Seondap means to visualize. Sundap means to ask for help. It's only one vowel difference. The rest of the spelling is the same. Okay. So how do you want me to visualize these people? And for us, practically speaking, the question would be, how does it differ from the visualization for the refuge and take the bodhicitta, okay? Jitagu nyamna jorcha soso la tsokshin min dawa sung. Each different version of the preliminary practices in the different Lamrim texts has its own visualization for this practice, and they differ. They are not the same. So it depends on which lamrim you want to follow. Okay? Dar re sung pe, therefore, tokmar, here at the beginning, Shuna means, how about I teach it to you according to Thar Nyorlam? Okay? What's Nyorlam? Quick path, also known as, in Tibet, also known as Marchi, okay, which is written by Second Panchen Lama, which Tim is going to show right now. Eventually. Okay. I think it's out of order. It's probably very early. Second Panchen Lama, Losang Yeshe. Tsokshin Marke Kong, Arki Kyabyul Duluk. Tsokshin Marke Gong means, before we move on to visualizing the field of our lamas, Ngarki Kyabyul Duluk, how are we supposed to dissolve the visualization we've been in of the refuge, of the people that we're going for refuge? Like, so we have to dissolve that visualization, and then we have to move on to the second visualization. So how do we... There's the second Panchen Lama, okay? Who was the first one? Losang Chökyi Gyaltsen. Who wrote? Delam. Okay, good. And billions of other things. Duluk Yikchar Selka Masun. Okay, Yikchar means in the traditional text, especially the monastic text. Selka means clearly Masun. It's not described clearly in the text. It's like, how, what are you supposed to do with the visualization you're on before you move on to this new visualization? It's not clearly stated in the text. Yepe, Damga, said Damga. It's probably misspelled, actually. It's probably Damka. But anyway, Damka means you have a, what do you call it? An option. What do you call it? Damka means you can choose. Whatever's dewa. Whatever's convenient for you. Okay? So there are options. Damka means there are options in how you, what? Dissolve that first visualization. Okay? Selka, dewe, selka masumbayin. Des, I'm sorry. Yeah, anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It says, I skipped a line. Du luk menak mindawa sum yepe. There are three different ways, according to oral tradition, that you can dissolve that visualization. So you can choose whichever one you like, because it's not clearly stated which one you should do. De sumni, what are the three? Kyabyo nam userpor kyurte rangi minsam su timbachik. I showed a minsam, Mr. Tim. It's called Bindi or something like that. I picked it out this morning. It was really cute. Did you find it? I don't know. It says Indian lady with bindi, probably. Did you find it? There she goes. So the opening of the central channel in the skull is here, okay? And that's a good place to meditate, Ajna Chakra, right? But in Tibetan it's called Minsam, okay? Minba means your eyebrows. Sam means between the two eyebrows. But it's actually up a little bit, and it's in about half an inch. And Indian women traditionally put a mark there called Bindi, a very old tradition, to put it on that particular Minsam, okay? So, you can dissolve the first visualization into golden light, and then timba means dissolve it into your minsam, okay, right here. So you can, the whole visualization can dissolve into golden light and then sucks in here at your minsam. So you can see where it is there. All right. I think it's an interesting custom. I don't know why it started, but it's an interesting custom. Okay. I believe it means you're married in India. I don't know. Anyway. Mi mepe gedapa chik. Or you can... The chik, by the way, means first you could do it this way, or you could also do it this way, meaning one. One way to do it is blah, blah, blah. One way to do it is blah, blah, blah. Chik, chik, chik. Okay? Gate, mimikpa which means what? Mimikpa. Mikme tsewe tachin tamisi. Huh? Yeah, mikpa is a verb, is high tone. Mikpa. Here's mimikpa. Mik means I, low tone. Mik means I. Mikpa means to I. You see what I mean? To look at. Mimikpa means not looking at. Near alambana. In yoga means what? What's a headstand near alambana? Yeah, no hands headstand. Okay? It's with no support. So mimikpa means you can dissolve it into emptiness, where you don't see anything anymore. Okay, mimikpa. Gedap means you can visualize it that way. Or yang dir kyabyo nam kar tekne okitsokshin seltam sine. Or he says you can take the previous visualization and move it up, so you have space for the new one. Okay, like raise it. Okay, raise it up. And then below you can visualize the tsokshing, okay, the second visualization. And then later you can yeshipa chukpe kap, when you jam in the wisdom beings. Okay, what's that mean? There's the tradition that you visualize a lama and then you invite the real spirit of the lama to come and it, what do you call it? Occupied the visualized lama, which they say is really just a trick to get the disciple to grasp that the visualized lama is real, is really there. So it's an unnecessary exercise, which is meant to sensitize the disciple to the fact that the visualized lama is real. And we'll get to that later. But the point is, you can raise up one set of lamas, visualize a new set of lamas, and then you can bring the real ones into the visualized ones, and you'll believe that they're real. Okay, got it? Chukpe kap timde chikte sum mengak shala duchir kapayin. Mengak shala duchir kapayin. I don't know what that means. I'll look it up. Mengak shala duchir kapayin. I gotta look that up. Okay. Tsokshin sandapala, when you visualize the tsokshin. Dambor sashi chinnapni. Now we're starting a huge, beautiful visualization of the field, of the garden, of your teachers. Okay? And first we have to bless the land on which they are going to sit. So first you bless the place. Okay? Dambor sashi. Sashi means what? Did you ever hear this expression before? Sashi poki joshi mator. Say sashi. The foundation of the earth. Now say sashi. The earth died. Okay, so don't say sashi poki. Okay, sashi poki. Okay, sashi. That used to be one of Rinpoche's pet peeves. Stop killing the ground. Chinnapni. So if we're going to bless the... We're going to bless the surface of the earth before we allow our lama to step upon it. You see? It's nice. Okay. Sashini. Tamche duni. Now he starts quoting a thing called, say, Jorchu. Kelsang. Dingyen. This is a whole separate text for doing the six preliminary practices that was composed by Pabongka Rinpoche's own lama. Okay. And we got that, what do you call it? We got that transmission very sweetly. Before Rinpoche would teach us Tantra, he required that we learn it, and I memorized it. He asked us to memorize it. So in his summer retreats when he taught Tantra, the first year or two, he just taught the Jorcha. He taught the six preliminaries, and he taught it from this text called Kelsan Dingyen. Which I'm having typed in India right now, so they're typing it in. Then maybe if you are good, we will go through the whole thing, maybe? All right? Maybe if we have time. I mean, let's just do it in Guadalajara or something. Maybe I'll try to translate it or something. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful text. And so he keeps quoting it here. All right, he'll keep quoting it. But it's a very nice thing to memorize and to learn, especially before you learn Tantra. Okay. So here we go. Tamche Duni Sashi. This is, he's quoting from the original, from the Kelsang Dingen. Kelsang means people who have good karma. Din means your throat. Gen means a necklace for your throat. Meaning, if you have a good enough karma, you will be able to sing this text. It's sung in a very beautiful melody. Okay, then that melody will be like a necklace on your throat. You see what I mean? Tamche Duni Sashi. Ki rangi shakutopo. I put a shakutopo jigme. There's a shakutopo in there. It says small room or something like that. Okay. This is all at Christine's house at the last minute. Say kutopo. Kutopo. This is a shak kutopo. Shak is the Tibetan word for a monk's cell. So in the monastery, they'll say, "Where's your shak, man?" And they say, "I live over in Gyeron House, third floor." Okay, that's shak. It's only used for monk's cells. Kutopo means, topo means, how do you say? Like an alleyway. Narrow, or crowd, what do you call that?
Cramped.
Cramped is really good. What do you call that? People who don't like to be in small places? Claustrophobically cramped space is called kutopo. You know, so he refers to your shak as kutopo. So I put a kutopo shak. Like there's no room for anything. This is a big hotel room on a DCI tour. Usually the bed touches both walls. You know, you just climb in with your luggage next to you and kind of try to sleep.
It's true, right? Try to do yoga with three people in that room.
Okay. So anyway, shakutopo. By the way, there's a related word, say pusutopo. Or pusutopo. Pusutopo means a person who is claustrophobic mentally. And it's a common expression in colloquial Tibetan. And it means someone who's just like uptight. It means uptight. Narrow-minded, but not narrow-minded in the sense of not being open-minded, narrow-minded in the sense of being too tight all the time mentally. So there's a word for that. It means, so this guy's pustopo. He's like uptight all the time. Okay, topo. Topo dendar misamba. 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 Huh? When you're visualizing the merit field, I hate to use that word, the lama field or whatever, misamba, kutopo. Yeah, don't think it's like some little place, like your room, like your monk cell, okay? Don't think, the visualization shouldn't be cramped. It should be, what do you call it? It should be expansive, yeah, like it should just go on and on, physically in your mind. And it's a good mental practice. I'm standing next to a mountain, chop it down with the edge of my hand, like that, like you should just be throwing around mountains and stars and planets and, you know, oh, look, these stars are a little too, not enough stars, let's put some more stars there. You know, you should, your arms should be as big as the universe. And you're like, oh, I'd like Jupiter over there, Saturn over there. Don't think your room. Don't think the new vision's windowless space, okay? I was going to pay them to break some windows out. But, anyway, shakutobo, don't think like that. Shindu yangba, shindu yangba. Expansive, very expansive. Shindu yangba. Tang yangba kiltabu ke. Tang means a vast plain in the middle of Tibet is a tang. Tang means, you know a geshe named Langri Tangpa. Who's that? He wrote the eight verses. He was from a place called Langri Tang, meaning the plains of Langri. Okay? Meaning some about like Kansas. Have you ever driven through Kansas? Like you fall asleep. The roads are straight and there's nothing to distinguish one part of the state from another. You know? It's just all Dairy Creams across a couple hundred miles. And there's no other thing different, you know. So you should think like a tongue. That's a tongue. A plain. Yangbo means vast. Kil here means in the middle. So you should think of it, this whole visualization is going to take place in the middle of a vast plain. Okay? Tabo Kunyomba. Kunyomba means level. It's very even. The place is very even. So now we're getting into what the world would be like if your karmic seeds were different. Okay? What makes places, what gives places distinction topographically? Topography is created by your karma. The topography of where you live is created by your karma. Okay? If you have a good karma, it'll be smooth and easy, you know? Like my place, I bought a skateboard. I didn't buy a skateboard. I wanted a skateboard. I planted a seed. The next day, I met a guy who owned a skateboard company. He put a diamond on one and gave it to me, okay? But I don't have any place to use it because I just have dirt roads with stones on them. So, but your karma will change, okay? If you collect good karma, your karma will change. So Kunyomba means it'll be nice and level. Serkisashi means what? Serkisashi. According to Buddhist cosmology, the planet itself is made of gold. The core of Earth is made of gold. And the magma inside the planet is gold. Except it's a disk and it's not a ball. Okay. La Baiduria. Okay. Baiduria is the Tibetan mispronunciation of Vaiduria, which means lapis lazuli. Okay? Lapis lazuli. I have some. You ready? Right. I like the dogs. They kind of brighten things up. Okay, so this is a typical chunk of lapis. Usually it comes from, a lot of it comes from Afghanistan. I used to buy it. I used to buy, you know, tons of it. And then you cut it into jewels, right? So Mi'kmaq, okay? Mi'kmaq in Tibetan gemology means these spots of gold, which are pyrite in the lapis, right? So those spots of gold, or the eyes on a peacock's feather are called Mi'kmaq. Okay, so it means a pattern on a stone or on a feather. Okay, Mi'kmaq. Risu Chipa'am. You can either picture a golden... Where are you going to put your lama when you visualize your lama? Make the floor pure gold. And then spread lapis through it, lapis veins through it. Or you can just take... make the whole floor lapis and have designs in it of gold. You have a choice. Right? So you're designing the floor on which they're going to stand. All right? But it's not stone, okay? Nena, nim. When you step on it, it has a little give, okay? Like rubber or something. Tekna parche means... And when you lift up your foot, it comes back to normal. It's like walking on a really good pair of running shoes or something. Or, okay? It's like it's stone, it's lapis, but it gives, it has give. This is supposed to be a description of Buddha paradise. That's one of the features of a Buddha paradise. Everything is mellow. When you walk on the stone, on the lapis and the gold, it's like walking on foam or something. Pleasantly gives way. Okay. Serkimimarisitum. Nena Nemshit. Rekna Dewa Kyapa. If you touch it with your feet, immediately you feel pleasure. It gives you a sensation of pleasure to walk on it. par par do Rinpoche Junshin la Chulpe Chan na Tsoki. Par par do here means, what's pardo? The in-between state, right? Bardo. Okay, pardo. Par par means every once in a while. As you're walking across it, you would run into a Rinpoche Shing. Shing. Not Shing. What's that? A tree made of jewel, okay? Like ruby. The whole tree is ruby. All right? Or the whole tree is sapphire. Like that. The whole thing. Right? Rinpoche. Junxing means a fruit tree or. Okay? Xing. Zhulbi cha. Then there are emanated cha. This is the trul and tulku, by the way. Tulku. Okay? Trul means emanated. Okay? So. Tulpe cha, what's a cha? Bird, okay? So there are magical birds, okay? Natsok means all kinds of magical birds. And they are not quacking or chirping. They are chuki da dopa. They are singing the Dharma. They are singing songs about emptiness or singing songs about compassion, you know? The birds are, when you listen to the birds, you hear, sometimes when you're in a real altered state, I know when my mom died, for like a day, all the wind sounded like her voice, you know. And or you go to the ocean and you're in a good state of mind and the waves are teaching you something, the sound of the waves are teaching you something. So in this exquisite place where you are going to invite your lama to sit, there are trees made of jewels. And there are birds in the trees, and they are singing emptiness teachings, and they're singing. And I don't think it's verbal. I think it's like you hear their song, and suddenly you're transported into some kind of compassion. So it's a beautiful visualization. You know, people complain, you know, I don't like to visualize. Why? They are visualizing a flat canvas covered with, you know, acrylic. You know, and they're not visualizing a magical world where the birds are singing. You hear the birds singing emptiness and stuff like that. Or you hear the... Sometimes I hear a rock and roll song, I start to cry. You know, like that. I mean, you hear something in the song, right? So like that. Dharo. Truki zingbur serki chema delwa. I have a bathhouse. You ready? Oh, by the way, that tree, that's a magical tree up near where I live. Okay. Very important tree. Okay. Next. So now, this is cool. You're going to start, before you can visualize your lamas, you have to bathe them. Okay? You have to bathe them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful practice, all right? It's a very, very beautiful practice to imagine bathing somebody, okay, that you respect, you know, just out of respect. So, Chuki Jingbu means a small lake or a pond, okay, but filled with crystal water. And you can think of something like that. That's like a Turkish bath that I found online. Serki chema delwa means there's a little bit of sand on the bottom made of gold dust. Okay. It's very similar to the sand in my mother's bathtub for the first 20 years of my life, Kent, when I was surfing. You know, because she would go drive her crazy because the whole bathroom was covered with sand for like 20 years of my life that I was in my surfing phase, you know. So you can imagine that it's all gold dust, okay? It's not sand, it's gold dust, okay? Chami Damodawa. Takoro Rinpoche Rivu Korwa. And all around there are jewel mountains, okay? Like off in the distance, the Camelback Mountain is made of jewels, sapphire or emerald or like that, okay? Nase Chiki Daya Korwa. So, Takshing Gikupa. Takshing, say Takshing. Takshing. Shing means field again. Tak means total purity, absolute purity. Okay. So Tak Shing is the Tibetan word for a Buddha paradise. Okay. So if you want to say Buddha paradise in Tibetan, you can say Tak Shing. Okay. Tak Shing. Don't say Dak Shing, which would mean a mud field. All right. Tak Shing. Okay. Dak Shing. All right. You know the word Dag Nung. What's Dag Nung? It's one of the most important practices in this whole Lamrim. In 1,000 pages. What's Dag Nung? Pure vision. Okay, pure vision. Means even in this Lamrim, even in the non-secret teachings in this Lamrim, you are encouraged to imagine that the person sitting next to you is already enlightened. Okay? Like that. That's like a vision of your life, that the people you're hanging around are, they're suspicious. There's a certain number of them who are not normal people. I mean, you knew they weren't normal, but they are. They might be enlightened. Okay, Tak Nung. Okay, that's called Tak Nung. Okay. Here, Tak Shing, Buddha paradise. So he says, when you visualize your lamas in this practice, before you meditate, right, you should bring to mind a Buddha paradise as described in the scriptures. Okay, as described in the scriptures. I think we got a Buddha paradise, Jingmei, in there somewhere. This is, you know, Tibetan version of a Buddha paradise, which would mean that you are wealthy enough to build lots of things similar to what wealthy Chinese would have in the 16th and 17th century. You know, like their idea of a perfect world was the Chinese emperor's palace in Beijing or something. Okay, for us, it would probably be a Lexus and a, you know, luxury condo or something. You know what I mean? I mean, what I'm saying is don't limit your imagination to what a Tibetan thought in the 17th century would be a Buddha paradise, you know? Like you'd have real running water and stuff like that. Okay. Okay. It says to imagine it as we see descriptions of Buddha paradises in the sutras. So Geshe Michael went to the sutras looking for lapis lazuli floors. And I found a good one, and I think this is a source for a lot of those descriptions, which is called Sangye Pelboche. Sangye Pelboche means the broad sutra, which is a collection of sutras. It's a single title in the Kangyur, but it's a collection of sutras inside. Okay, and It describes those kinds of Buddha paradises. With, you can see it in that sutra. You can also see it in the Lotus Sutra. If you go looking for lapis floors, there's a similar one described in the Lotus Sutra. It would be nice to study the Lotus Sutra someday if we had time. Okay, Pundarika Sutra, right? It's extraordinary. It's really extraordinary. One of the parts I like the best is a long list of flesh that you should not eat, including, see? Yeah, you too. Including dog flesh and fish flesh, lamb flesh, cow flesh, horse flesh, human flesh. And then at the end it says, don't eat it. Okay, so if you get some story that Buddhists aren't supposed to be vegetarian, you can refer people to Lotus Sutra. It's very clear. He lists like 50 kinds of meat, and he says, don't eat them. Okay. Sekma ni dramsek dung. So in the original recitation text, which I'm offering to maybe teach it to you at some point, maybe in Guadalajara or something. It'd be nice to go through the whole thing in a one teaching. It's extraordinary. It's very beautiful. It has the six preliminary practices. And Rinpoche spent a long time teaching this. But in there it says, there are no sekmas on this ground. Okay? So sekma is a very unusual Tibetan word, and Pabongkwa Rinpoche felt that he had to explain it to his audience. So here he goes. Sekma refers to tamsek. Tamsek means like little pebbles, like gravel. Meaning there's no, what do you call it, loose little pebbles on this lapis floor. The lapis floor is spotless. There's no like something you could trip on or little rocks. Okay, and there's no doshop. Doshop means bigger rocks. Okay, like Diamond Mountain. Okay, it has lots of sekma, and it has lots of doshop, and it makes it hard to walk. There are little stones and bigger stones that you could twist your ankle on or something like that. So there's none of that. It's totally flat and nice to walk on, like Vans surfer shoes, right? Okay. Kyomo ni, then he explains the word kyomo, which appears in that recitation text. Kyomo means za nu chakdun. Za means clay or ceramic. Nu means a pot. Chakdun means a broken shards of pottery. So in a typical non-industrial culture, there are lots of broken pottery everywhere. Okay, I have Anastasi ruins around my house, 1,500 ruins, different sites in the area that I live. And it's too expensive for the Park Service to watch them. So you can just walk up on any hill and it's covered with pottery shards. Because that was the garbage dumps for 1,000 years. You broke a pot and you threw it into this pile. So there's not even any of those on this floor. Okay. In modern times, it would be broken glass in a parking lot. I did a good video of the broken glass at the parking lot that we're thinking to build the mission on. And I couldn't find it, but the equivalent would be broken glass, vodka, whiskey bottles, you know, broken car glass on asphalt. Think that, okay? Not there, okay? Gyagantu nerche ningba chir torwa detabu kyodum mangbu kawa. So that's a reference to the old days in India when a settled place, a village or a town, would be surrounded by a garbage dump having lots of shards of pottery there, okay? Because they didn't have other garbage like we do. Namtok ni. Also, the original text says there's no Namtok there, and that refers to Kayang te. Kayang means like crevasses, and what do you call things in the ground that go like this? Ravines or like that. This vast, many miles wide place where you're going to visualize your lamas doesn't have any imperfections in the topography. It's totally smooth, which is a reflection of your karma. Okay, they say that to live in a place which has a lot of crevices or washes or ravine is a reflection of your own state of mind. Okay, we had a friend at a place called, what's that, Vajrapani Institute, right? And they had a dirt road to get there, which was often, you know, 4 feet deep in mud. You could not get back there in a vehicle. And then this is a famous story. They asked me, what can we do karmically to change that, you know? And I said, well, Jetsun Kapa says to have a road like that is a reflection of divisive speech. You know, the people who live in your center are creating seeds by speaking in a divisive way. So they said, okay, Geshe Michael, we'll do a karma experiment, you know. We'll watch our divisive speech for a couple months and see what happens. So they did. And it was weird that they agreed to do it, or they thought to do it, you know. I didn't ask them, they just decided to try. So they didn't speak divisively for a couple of months. They were very careful. Then the county came to them and offered to pave the whole thing, which was way beyond what they could afford. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they paved it all to the highway, right? Or some of it. Most of it. 4 miles. Which would cost, I don't know, $1 million or something. I don't know. So anyway, they paid for it. And maybe they have to finish. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. So there's none of that. It's totally smooth, like Kansas. Which to me would be boring, but that's another thing. Dene chepa jingi lab gope. Now you have to bless the offerings which you are going to offer to the lamas before they arrive. We're going to have to bless the offerings. Oh, by the way, I didn't finish the last sentence. Nökyön detabu magopa means the land is not marred by any imperfections of topography. Dene chepa jingi lab gope. How do we bless the offerings? Musu shamba yunchap dun sadang. The ones which you actually put out physically, that's a mayingak. What's a mayingak? Mayingak implies something else, which is what? You're going to make a lot of offerings mentally. But now he's referring to the ones that you physically put out on your altar. Then he'll get to the ones that you only imagine. Okay? Imagined offerings. Ngusushamba, what you put forth physically, Yunchap Dun Tsar, a set of 7 offering bowls. Okay? Yunchap Dun. Yunchap means the offered water, liquids that are offered. So it could be water bowls, 7 water bowls. Yunchap Dun Tsar. 1 set of 7 water bowls. Pekang Re Tabu Le Mekyang. Pekang Re means a single stick of incense. Kang means a leg, but here it means a stick. Tabu Le Mekyang, even if you have no more than that, you possess no more than a single stick of incense and 1 set of 7 water bowls, don't worry. Why? Because Gomdunla, in your meditation, in your visualization, you can Parnang Namka Sashi Tamje Chipitin Chembu. You can fill the entire sky with offerings, like Christmas presents. Spread across the whole sky, spread across the whole ground, okay? Millions of Christmas presents. Or whatever you like, whatever your lama likes. If your lama likes avocados, then the whole ground is covered with avocados, okay? Like that. Whose custom was it to do that? In sutra, they call Samantabhadra, okay? Samantabhadra was a bodhisattva who was very hot on this practice, you know? Offer a single rose to your teacher, because that's all that your garden will grow. But in your mind, multiply enough of them to fill the whole sky. Okay? And it's a beautiful practice, all right? It's especially good for those of us who don't have a lot of money. See what I mean? So you do the best you can. You buy a banana and you offer it. But in your mind, you fill the sky with bananas. Okay? All right. Namka Sashi, cover the sky, cover the whole earth, the surface of the planet Earth, with a cloud of offerings. Okay. Parpa Kundusambo Chutintar, in the same way that the Arya Kundusambo did. Kundu means Samanta. Sambo means Bhadra. Samanta Bhadra. Okay. In the same way that he did. Samna De Chuki, misspelling in the text, okay? It should be Tsuki, T-S-O-D and not C-H-O-D. De Tsuki, Sok Sok. You will Sok Sok, Sok Sok, in direct proportion to the number of bananas you can cover the sky with. Got it? Okay? You get karmic seeds equal in number to the number that your imagination can produce. So it's not a limit imposed financially. It's a limit imposed by your ability to fantasize. I say, why do the sky? I mean, have them all the way to Mercury, you know, or to Pluto, or to some other Andromeda galaxies covered with bananas. Like Star Trek would pass through light years of bananas. You see what I mean? Like, why settle for less? Because it says you get as many karmic seeds as you can. So it means how many square feet can you cover with bananas? You get that many karmic seeds. Okay? So, all right. So it comes from Tse, which is related to Tsema, which means what? Pramana, right? Meaning the ability to conceptualize. Okay? So, you get that much karma. So don't short yourself. Okay, don't put one flower on your altar and because you don't have a lot of money. You know, put one flower on your altar and spend a few seconds multiplying it out to the edge of the universe, okay, or beyond. Okay, and it doesn't cost you anything, and you get that much more karma. Okay. Deyan dode pelboche le sumba. This is again the pelboche do. Which is called, I don't know, it's a single sutra which includes many other sutras in the Kangyur. Pelboche means the majority or like that. I don't know why it's called Pelboche. Maybe because it has many sub-sutras. I don't know. Sumba, Chuyen Pelcher Chuyen Lare Dang. There's a quotation there that says, well, there's a pelcher, so maybe that's where it comes from. Pelcher means a majority or a great number of offering bowls. And then offer also labre, say labre. That's a case where you mispronounce it on purpose, okay? It's latte, right? Can you find it, Nimbo? It's la, the spelling is latte, but we pronounce it labre, okay? It's just an exception to the rules of Tibetan pronunciation. Labre means those little canopies that you put over a lama when they teach. So it was in India they had to have them because it was out in the middle of the sun. And there would be a little canopy above the lama. So they still put them there in Tibet. In a temple they will put a labre. Okay. Shesok tar chuyun ki duk dang labre dang. You can offer parasols, you can offer labres, you can offer gyantsen, means victory banner. Like that Iwo Jima picture? Like we have shed blood and we have won and we're putting the flag up. So that's a big deal in ancient India. There was a special flag. Once you won a battle, you would start waving this flag. Okay. Kelchen Dang, De Shindu also put forth metal, flowers. Dunpu means seven incense. I guess it's incense with seven precious ingredients. Marme. Yeah, lamps, Deepa, right? Chichap. Scented water, okay, perfume water. Shalse. Food, naividya, right? Niyudi. All right. Se sokla jargutsusung. So you can, in the recitation text, jar means you can substitute the word banana with apple, plum, peach, victory banner, butter lamps. You just insert as you like. Okay. Meto jumbusung. Shelse tabo mi ja. If you get to something which is not to dewa, to offer, what do you call it? Shelse means a cooked meal, like, what do you call it? Beef bourguignon, okay? That's ja mi de. Mi dewa. What's dewa? Happiness. Delam. Happiness. But it can mean convenient. Mi dewa. Not convenient to make a beef bourguignon when you got to get to work. Okay, one of the seven offering cups is supposed to be a cooked meal. If you got to get to work in the morning, you can't make a beef bourguignon because it takes 4 or 5 hours. Okay, got it? He said some offerings are not easily made and are inconvenient to cook just before you do your meditation because it takes 5 hours. So, the rikla means that type of stuff. That rik means that type of stuff. Azerkitare sepne, timba. You can draw it out of a vast network of golden light. Mentally. Okay? All right? Where do you go? Argam, Padi, Pude, Dupe, Aloke, Gende, Nude. When you get to Nude, food, Naividya, you can say, beef bourguignon, coming up from a vast network of golden light in my imagination. Then you see the beef bourguignon coming out of golden light and into your hands and you... Okay? He said, that's okay for the stuff which is difficult to throw together on short notice. Got it? All right. Chipe Tun Sung Di. Chipa Jinlabden. Then you can bless the offering with the Chipe Tin Sung. Say Chipe Tin Sung. Chipa means what? Offerings. Tin, cloud, vast cloud. Okay? Sung is an alternate word for ngak. Yeah. Or ngak means what? Mantra. So sung, you should know that, okay? Sung is an alternate Tibetan word for ngak, which means mantra. Secret Sanskrit words that you use for special purposes. Originally they were spells. You know, you would do a ngak on... You know, somebody wanted a girlfriend and you would do a ngak for them and then suddenly she would be interested or something like that. You see what I mean? That used to be that, or you wanted to fly in the sky, then you would do a ngak on your Nikes and then you'd be able to fly like that. Then it developed into spiritual purposes, right? So you would do ngaks to heal people or, okay? Here's a ngak, a mantra for what? Chipitim. Yeah, when you want to send bananas to Andromeda Galaxy, you can also use a special mantra, and it makes it more powerful. You know, so you can use Samanta Bhadra's mantra, which comes from the Kangyur. Okay, it's in the original sutras. So he doesn't give it. So guess what? I went and got the mantra for you. Okay, and I thought you would like to learn it. Or you can use it sometimes when you want extra bananas to offer, okay? So maybe I'll give the... I gave Jigme the whole spelling, the technical spelling of it, okay? So I corrected the spelling of the mantra in the Tibetan literature. So now it's correct, okay? But I'll just say it for you for good luck, okay? And then I translated it for you for good luck, okay? So here we go. Namo... Ratna Trayaya Namo Bhagavate Vajrasara Pradamardane Tathagataya Arahataya Samyaksam Buddhaya Tadyatha Om Vajra Vajra Mahavajra Mahateja Vajra Mahavidya Swaha Mahabodhi Chitta Vajra Mahabodhi Mandopa Sankramana Vajra Sarva Karma Avarana Vishodana Vajra Swaha. That's the whole mantra of Samanta Bhadra, okay? Now I'll do it in English, okay? The slurps are extra. Okay. Okay, rough translation. I didn't have time to do a fine one. I bow to the three jewels, right? Namo Ratna Trayaya. I bow to the conqueror, Namo Bhagavate. I bow to the heart of diamond, the destroyer, Vajra Sara Pradamardane. I bow to the heart of the diamond, the destroyer. Tathagataya, I bow down to the one gone thus. Arhate Samyak Sambuddhaya, to the destroyer of the foe, the totally enlightened one. Tadyatha, may it be so. Om Vajre Vajre, Om to the diamond, Mahavajra to the great diamond, Mahatejavajra to the great diamond of glory, Mahavidya Swaha, these the secret words of greatness, Swaha, Mahabodhicitta Vajra to the diamond of the wish for enlightenment, Mahabodhi Mandopa Sankramanaya Vajra, to the diamond of the great enlightenment, which is the very essence. Sarvakarma Avarana Vishodhana Vajra Swaha, to the diamond which purifies us of every karmic obstacle, Soha. Okay. Soha is like a dagger at the end. It's said to be Shituk, say Shituk. Shituk means damn. You know, like Soha. Okay, it's just like at the end of a mantra, you're supposed to go, Soha. Like, what? Okay. Even now in India, if you go see a Hindu homa, they will go, Soha, Soha, at the end. Okay. All right, so that's the whole mantra corrected from the Kangyur and the Tengyur. So I had to go to different sources to correct it. The Tibetans had the mantras, but they sometimes misspelled them after a few centuries. So that's the correct one. All right. I like it. Okay, and then you could probably spend a year thinking about why that would create more bananas between us and the Andromeda galaxy. You know, why would saying those words make the bananas more powerful? You know, it'd be nice to think about it. I didn't do it. Okay, I think it'd be nice to think about it. Okay, what time am I supposed to finish?
One.
We're right on schedule, which is bizarre. Okay, sorry. So now I'm starting class two. I've scheduled it the next 6 months that we will go have two sessions for each of the 10 classes. So we'll have 20 sessions total. We finished two sessions. We're done with the first class. I'm starting the second class, okay? But you can now do your homework. Why should you do the homework? You have to pass this on, okay? Somebody told me, oh, Geshe-la, not as many people came this time. I said, I don't care, okay? If two people show up, I'm going to transmit for 14 years this text because it's important, okay? It should exist in the world in a living transmission, okay? And it's my duty, it's my responsibility to pass it on to whoever will come. I should pass it on because I think it's the greatest book ever written. Okay, and you're insane if you don't come, but, you know, who am I? You know, I feel like I have to pass on the whole thing correctly. And so, anyway, if you're going to pass it on correctly, you should do the homework, okay? So, my job is finished up to folio 95 or something, okay? I probably won't have time to teach it again. Now it's your problem, okay? So whether you're going to do a good job or not, you know, is your problem. I suggest you do the homeworks. I suggest you keep them and you do them, okay? I take the five most important points out of each two lectures, okay? And I demand that you should know them, okay? So I out of 4 hours of teaching, there are five sentences which were really important. And you should know the answers to the questions about those five sentences if you're going to pass it on responsibly, which you should do, okay? Is it going to be that after, I don't know, 1,000 years of Lamrim in Tibet, the lineage breaks down with Nit, you know? Like, you can't let that happen. You can't be the person who didn't learn it and pass it on, okay? Because every generation has passed it on. And this generation is done with the first 95 folios. Now it's your generation's problem, okay? Like, I will probably go have a nice coffee, a latte at Starbucks, and then you have to be teaching Lamrim during that time. Because now it's your problem, okay? So you must learn it and pass it on correctly, okay? So I think doing the homeworks is part of that process. I like the homeworks to be done in a group because then you compare notes, you know. You were looking at the dog when I explained the third line of the mantra, and you didn't get it. But somebody else sitting next to you was looking at the dog during a different line. So you can compare notes if you do your homework together. All right, so we have 4 minutes. Don't waste it. We'll start the next class. Okay, here we go. At least the first sentence or two. Sokshin Ngushi Seon Dupsu La. Now we get to the real visualization of the people as opposed to the floor and all that. Okay, here we go. Nyurlam Ne, he's going to quote Nyurlam, the quick path, the Lamrim called quick path. Marti Dige Luki Sokshin Seon Dupsu Dang. There is a way in which you visualize the people in the Tsokshing according to this book, meaning Marti, the red instruction. And there's a Lama Chupa system. What's Lama Chupa? Offering to Lamas, written by His Holiness the First Panchen Lama, which we recite in Prescott twice. Every time we're in Prescott, we recite the whole thing twice. Okay? It is the most famous ritual in Tibet, Lama Chupa, offering to your teacher. Okay. There's two systems. So there's the Martri system and there's the Lama Chupa system. You can visualize the people in this visualization either according to the second Panchen Lama's Lamrim, or you can do it according to Lama Chupa. Okay? Guess which one he's choosing. Lama Chupa. Okay, he's going to follow the Lama Chupa system. Okay, which is called Jay Lama Chupa. Say Jay. Lama Chupa. Lama Chupa is a ritual, the offering to Lamas. What's Jay mean? Like Jay Tsongkhapa? The Lord. So the Lord of the Lama Chupa is the visualization that we use in this particular tradition. Okay, so we're going to describe Jay Lama Chupa. The Lord of the Lama Chupa. It's a person that you visualize. Okay? And then you do all these offerings to them. Okay? Lama Chupa. Shing Chawar Sumba. Di Ne Chete. Why did we choose the Lama Chupa system? Okay? Why did we choose to visualize it that way? Ne Che. Ne Che. What's that? Ne. Very crucial. Yeah, it means crucial. The reason we use the Lama Chupa is crucial. Okay, why? Galwa wen sapa dang drupchen chuki dorje nam lame nelder semba sinsa dila tene tsiji la sunju ki gopa nyepa. I get this question sometimes. People say, okay, you say this is the Lam Rim. These are the steps to enlightenment. How many people actually got enlightened using this? I mean, how many people are walking around with big ears and bumps on their head? You know, like, show me somebody who used this Lam Rim. And if this is the idiot's guide to enlightenment, I assume that there are lots of former idiots walking around enlightened, you know. So let's see them, you know, where are they? And in Tibet, there was a tradition that two lamas in particular had reached enlightenment using this particular visualization, okay, the Lama Chupa visualization, okay. And I mentioned before that the relics tour of the FPMT and Lama Supa's group had a relic from Galwa Wensapa. So Wensapa was a Tibetan Lama who is said to have reached enlightenment in his lifetime. So there are two. One is called Shukyi Dorje, okay? There were two lamas who are said to have reached enlightenment in this lifetime. Can you show one? I think you have both of them. One of them has a beard, so I thought Nick would like that. It's not allowed to have a beard for a monk, and I don't know how he got away with one, but maybe after you get enlightened, it's okay. There he is, in fact. Wait. That's Chökyi Dorje, okay? And his is not quite as straggly, but it's similar. Wait, read the first one. I want to read, this is the caption at the bottom, right? It says, Sungju Kunye Chökyi Dorje Shap. Shap means the holy feet. I bow down at the holy feet of Chökyi Dorje. Nye means who found. The Sungjuk, what's Sungjuk? It's enlightenment according to tantric system. Okay, so enlightenment in the open teachings is called Sangye or Buddhahood or something like that. In the secret teachings, it's not called that. It's called Sungjuk, the union of the two, in honor of Big Brother and the holding company, which goes over everybody's head. Janis Joplin's original band did a song called The Union of the Two, which is really good. But anyway, Gu means holy body. So what the union of what two? Huh? Enlightenment. I'll buy the body made of light. Let's sell. Clear light and? Yeah. And omniscience, okay? That the combination. Your body is made of the clear light and your mind is made of enlightenment. That's Sungjuk, right? Gyulu, miracle body, and Kunken, okay? All right. That's one of them. Let's see the other one. So that's Kusum Mungyur, he who attained the three bodies of a Buddha. Gyalwa means the Buddha, Wensapa. Okay. Wen means Wensa means what do you call? Out in the middle of nowhere. Wen means out in the middle of nowhere. Diamond Mountain is Wensa. Okay? It's supposed to be. It was planned that way. Okay. I got that this. That's a long story. I got this very, what do you call, insistent email from a newspaper. It's like, why did you put Diamond Mountain out in the middle of nowhere? Duh. I mean, Wensa means it's supposed to be in the middle of nowhere. You can't even get cell reception there. That was the idea. It's like between, it's the only place in the United States where you don't get cell reception. So there's not somebody's conversations going through your body. All right? Or whatever somebody's looking at on the internet at that moment, going through your body, which it does, right? Anyway, his name was out in the middle of nowhere. This lama's name is out in the middle of nowhere. He's one of the two lamas that is thought to have achieved enlightenment in their lifetime using this practice that we're going to describe in the next class. Okay? Using the practice of the Dzogchen, these two lamas achieved enlightenment. Okay, so then that's like an advertisement for the visualization, which we're going to learn starting in the next class. Okay, good? All right, then. Okay, cool. So this week is very important. This week and the Gualahar is very important. If you want to meditate, this is the best explanation of those seven steps that exists in the world. Okay? So, Yen Lak Dun, right? The seven limb, they call it seven limbs? Bad translation, but anyway. Seven limb puja. this is the best explanation of it in the world. So we'll do it this week. Okay? All right. Bye.